From all walks of life, white women are hearing the call, considering our future, and braving a new world. Join me, Rachel Pendergraft, each week as I bring you the white women's perspective.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the White Women's Perspective. I am your host, Rachel Pendergraft. And before we get started, I just want to say, well, this is Christmas Eve, and I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. Well, it isn't that merry for Miss Puerto Rico winner Destiny Velez. She's been suspended from her role after making anti-Muslim comments. Destiny Velez, now I don't know, she is a Puerto Rican. I don't know what her racial ancestry is. She probably isn't white. Nevertheless, she is concerned about Islam and what they are doing in the Western world, and she had some comments to make. Well, as I said, she's been suspended indefinitely from her role as Miss Puerto Rico 2015 due to comments she made. She's 20 years old, and she sent off a series of tweets to filmmaker Michael Moore after Moore posted a picture of himself outside Trump Tower in New York City holding a sign reading, "We are all Muslim." Well, Michael Moore, he's an idiot anyway. Velez proceeded to tweet at Moore a picture of herself holding a sign that read, "We are all believers in Christ," saying, "Why are you defending Muslims that haven't done anything for the USA? All what Muslims have done is provided oil and terrorized this country and many others. There's no comparison," she said, "between Christians and Muslims. They have no terrorizing, Christians have no terrorizing agendas in their sacred books." She also said, "Muslims use our Constitution to terrorize USA and plant gas stations. And all they do is build their mosques, feel offended by American values, and terrorize innocent Americans and plant gas stations and get guns and kill innocent people and destroy precious artifacts." And then she also said, or she tweeted at Donald Trump and expressed her support for him. The Miss Puerto Rico organization later responded, saying in a statement that Velez had been suspended indefinitely. So after she was suspended, well, then she went and issued an apology. She said, "I apologize to the people I've offended with my words. I'm first and foremost an upstander, and as such, I stand up against bullying," she said. Well, anyway, that's sad to say. I doubt that Miss Puerto Rico is white. Nevertheless, like I said, she does understand that Islam is a terrorist-type religion. They do not like Christians. Puerto Rico is a largely Catholic country. And while I may take issue with their people in Puerto Rico, I doubt that they are pro-white, those people there. Well, you know, there are a few people in Puerto Rico that are pro-white. A few people there that maybe have hotels or maybe vacation there or have decided to retire there because they like that tropical type of climate and so forth. But nevertheless, she understands that Islam is a religion that at its heart is terroristic, and she felt that as someone who has First Amendment rights, because Puerto Rico is a territory of the U.S., hoping to be a state of the U.S. Hopefully they don't become a state of the U.S. because largely they are Democratic voters. And I hate to say it, but most Democratic voters, except for some of those who are, you know, your old-time Southern Democrats, most Democratic voters are in support of third world immigration and anti-family values. Nevertheless, Miss Puerto Rico, for some reason, she felt that she had a right. She thought she had a right because they're a U.S. territory. She thought she had a right. She thought she had some protections under the First Amendment. She thought that she could say what she felt, and what she felt was that Islam is detrimental to Western Christian civilization, and that she supported Donald Trump. And she's been forced to apologize. I wish she hadn't have done that. I wish she had not apologized. But so often people in the entertainment industry, people who rise to positions, people who get privileges, people who get prestige, whether it's like this being a winner of the Miss Puerto Rican beauty contest, they think that they are going to somehow get around this anti-Christian sentiment that is ballooning in our country. And Miss Velez has found out that she's not going to get around it. She is forced to apologize. I don't think that even after her apology, she is going to get the crown restored. Now, here's another story. I don't know how many of you are aware of who Phyllis Schlafly is. Let me tell you just a little bit about who this remarkable woman is. Phyllis Schlafly has been a national leader of the conservative movement since the publication of her best-selling 1964 book, A Choice, Not an Echo. She has been a leader of the pro-family movement since 1972 when she started her national volunteer organization called Eagle Forum. In a 10-year battle, Ms. Schlafly led the pro-family movement to victory over the principal legislative goal of the radical feminists called the Equal Rights Amendment. Now, the Equal Rights Amendment was a very popular battle back in the 1970s. When I was just actually about 12 years old, I remember calling my own representatives in the state of Arkansas, asking them to vote against the Equal Rights Amendment. The Equal Rights Amendment was supposedly an amendment that would basically, it would give equal rights to men and women. However, what it actually did would be to put women and men on the same equal footing and deny women of privileges that they enjoyed in this country. That's what the Equal Rights Amendment was all about. Ms. Schlafly was an articulate and successful opponent of the radical feminist movement. She has appeared in debates on college campuses more frequently than any other conservative. She was named one of the 100 most important women of the 20th century by the Ladies Home Journal. She has a monthly newsletter called the Phyllis Schlafly Report, now in its 47th year. Her syndicated column appears in 100 newspapers and on many conservative websites. Her radio commentaries are heard daily on over 600 stations, and her radio talk show on education called Eagle Forum Live is heard weekly on 90 stations. She's the author of over 20 books. She is a lawyer. She served as a member of the Commission on the Bicentennial of the U.S. Constitution from 1985 to 1991, appointed by President Reagan. She has testified before more than 50 congressional and state legislative committees on constitutional, national defense, and family issues. She is a Phi Beta Kappa graduate of Washington University. She received her Juris Doctorate degree from Washington University Law School, received her Master's in Political Science from Harvard, and in 2008, Washington University St. Louis awarded Phyllis an honorary Doctor of Humane Letters. This is a very influential woman. One thing that I like about her is that she said that she believes the Republican Party should reject immigration reform proposals. And she told Focus Today that it is a great myth that the GOP needs to reach out to Latinos in the United States. Quote, "The people the Republicans should reach out to are the white votes. The white voters who didn't vote in the last election. The propagandists are leading us down the wrong path," she said. "There's not any evidence at all that these Hispanics coming in from Mexico will vote Republicans." This is a very prestigious woman. I'm not going to continue on with her biography. You can look it up at phyllisschlafly.com. Nevertheless, she recently unloaded on Republicans in Congress for passing the $1.1 trillion bill last week, a move that she has called a betrayal. She said this is a betrayal of the grassroots and of the Republican Party. She said, with WorldNet Daily, she told them, "We thought we were electing a different crowd to stand up for America, and they didn't. We're extremely outraged by what Congress has done. Nancy Pelosi couldn't have engineered it any better. I think the people are going to react by electing Donald Trump." She said, Trump put out a statement Friday to ABC News saying, "If anyone needs more evidence of why the American people are suffering at the hands of their own government, look no further than the budget deal announced by Speaker Ryan. In order to avoid a government shutdown, a cowardly threat from an incompetent president, the elected Republicans in Congress threw in the towel and showed absolutely no budget discipline." Trump continued, "Congress cannot seem to help itself in bending to every whim of special interests. How can they face their constituents when they continue to burden our children and grandchildren with debts they will never be able to repay? Our government is failing us, so we must do something about it. Who knows how bad things will be when the next administration comes in and has to pick up the pieces." Shafley applauded Trump's fighting spirit. She said, "It sounds like Donald Trump is the only one who has any fight in him," she said. "He will fight for the issues that we really care about and are very hot at the very present, such as the immigration issue. I don't see anyone else who's eager to fight." And, of course, this is exactly what I told the Washington Post just a couple of days ago. I did an interview with them. They asked us how we felt about Donald Trump. And again, like I explained to him, I don't think that Donald Trump is necessarily the savior of the white race. He doesn't say that he's one of us. He's not a white nationalist. Nevertheless, he is saying things that the average American person agrees with. He wants Muslim immigration to the United States stopped. He wants illegal immigration stopped to the United States. He is saying things publicly that people are saying privately around their dinner table tonight. And Shafley agrees with that. She said that he is the last hope for America. Quote, "He does look like he's the last hope for America. We don't hear anybody saying what he's saying. In fact, most of the people who ought to be lining up with him are attacking him." And, of course, she's referring to the GOP, the Republican Party. Why? Because the Republican Party is not the party of white Americans. They, again and again and again, are attacking the traditional base of the Republican Party, the white families, the white middle class, those people who are losing their jobs, losing their families, losing their social rights, losing their economic progress to minorities, to illegal immigrants. Their traditional values are being overrun by gay marriage, by abortion. And the GOP has said time and time again that they think they need to abandon the social issues in order to win more minority votes. And that is just an exact betrayal of their core constituency. She said, again, "We don't hear anybody saying what he's saying. In fact, most of the people who ought to be lining up with him are attacking him. They're probably jealous of the amount of press coverage he gets." I think that's probably true. Jeb Bush, any of the others that you can consider, they are probably exactly jealous of the press coverage he does get. She goes on, she says, "But the reason he gets so much press coverage is the grassroots are fed up with people who are running things, and they do want a change. They do want people to stand up for America." It really resonates when he says, or when he says that he wants to make America great again. So here is a very prestigious woman, a lawyer, a constitutional lawyer, a mother of six children, someone who almost single-handedly has been declared the person who put an end to the Equal Rights Amendment. One of the things the Equal Rights Amendment that Phyllis Schlafly and others at the time said was that if the Equal Rights Amendment was passed, that it would force women into the draft. Now, that has not happened yet. The Equal Rights Amendment was not passed, but we have seen liberals time and time again talk about the need to put women into the draft. We have seen liberals time and time again talk about women being put on the front lines in our defense forces. That is not a women's job. Women are very good at executive jobs. They're very good at raising families. They're very smart. They're very intelligent. They have very great ideas as far as economics. But hey, face it, ladies. Women are, by nature, we are physically weaker, and it does not make good sense to put women on the front line. Women, the women, the suffragists at the early part of the last century, they were not about the things that the radical feminist movement of the 60s and 70s were about. They were not for gay marriage like those of later years. They were not for abortion like those of later years. They were not for men abandoning their families, having single parent families, having single mom families, having no cause divorce, which really harms women. Having so many of these things, they have forced women into a position in which they have to give up their female role, their right to be privileged in this country, because Christianity has seen womanhood as a privileged state. And Phyllis Schlafly has been someone who has stood up for those ideals. She has been someone who has stood up for these things. And it's great that that amendment was not passed. People, again, like I said, people have credited her work with not allowing that amendment to pass. But again, many of the things that they wanted to get passed during that Equal Rights Amendment have come to fruition, like same-sex marriage, like getting women put on the front lines, like no-fault divorce, which really hurts the family, like taking away the Social Security benefits for widows and for stay-at-home moms. And so some of these things have come to fruition. Some of these things are still in the works by liberals, people like Hillary Clinton, people like Nancy Pelosi. And so we need to look back. I know, you know, Phyllis Schlafly is an elderly woman now. I think she's in her late 70s, early 80s. And some of the younger women out here may not know who she is. They might not know what she's done. They might not know the immense amount of work that she has done on behalf of women. They hear about all these radical feminists and how they have helped the women's movement, how they have helped women, but they haven't helped women at all. They have destroyed the family and they have destroyed womanhood. And so we need to applaud women like Phyllis Schlafly. And apparently, you know, she's a smart lady, and she has come out in support of Donald Trump because Donald Trump is saying things that middle-class America, men and women, think. And that's why so many people are supporting him. All right, well, now let's move on to another person, Faith Hill. She's a very important and much-loved country music star. While in the liberal world of Hollywood and music, it's considered very risky to associate with a conservative in any way. Luckily, there are still celebrities like Faith Hill out there who don't give a hoot what Obama and his minions think. Well, that's a lead story that's out there, but it's a little bit deceptive. Let me continue on. Country music star Hill attended the UNICEF Audrey Hepburn Society Ball. While this may seem like a fine thing to do, liberals are outraged about it since the event was honoring proud Republican Barbara Bush. Hill, however, didn't care what liberals thought and even agreed to take photos with Barbara. Again, we're going to get to it, but it's just a publicity stunt. The real reason Hill decided to perform at the event wasn't for Barbara at all. Instead, it was for Hollywood legend Audrey Hepburn. Hill said, "I first learned of Audrey Hepburn when I was a young teen from her work with children." She said, "I remember watching a television segment on her life and her work around the globe that ran before cartoons in the morning. I didn't even know that she was an actor." Audrey had such grace about her, both on and off camera. Hill is such a big fan of Hepburn that she named her own daughter after an icon. And this article continues, she says, the article says, "We're glad that Hill was willing to risk the backlash to perform at an event honoring a Bush family member. Bravo, Faith." Again, just a publicity stunt. Because listen to some of the comments about it. Olivia says, "Faith and her husband, Tim McGraw, are trying to repair the loss in fan adoration ever since they both came out as strong gun control advocates, alienating the true country fan base." Absolutely. And this one by Beth, "The story lead is BS. Both Tim and Faith have displayed by their actions that they do not support the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. Neither me or my family will have anything to do with them or their publicity stunts." And then this one by Emily says, "They both already stated that they are Obama supporters, and I would not walk across my yard to see either one of them. Can they change their minds? Yes, but they need to do it openly and apologize to their fans." So it looks like Faith Hill is just, again, she is trying to cash in on the conservative base, those people throughout rural America. They are her constituency as far as her music is concerned. She knows that she has hurt that base by her continued support of gun control. And so she thought by appearing in a photograph with Barbara Bush of the GOP, who's no friends of white people themselves, that somehow she would garner that support back to herself. Also, I remember hearing one time, I think I was traveling to a conference in Tennessee. This is going back about 15 years ago, back when the Will and Grace show was very popular. For those younger viewers or listeners, the Will and Grace show was about a woman, Grace, who was in love with a man, Will. They were high school sweethearts. However, Will was a homosexual, and the story was about their funny antics and so forth. So the Will and Grace show was an early proponent of homosexuality. Well, Tim McGraw in an interview said, when asked what character or what would he like to do if he could take part in a sitcom or a TV type acting gig, what would he like to play? He said he would like to play the love interest of Will, because he thought it would be great fun. So again, Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, just a couple of liberal deadbeats who are trying to get back their core support by having Faith Hill take a picture with Barbara Bush. You've got to check out these people. Check out the people that you support. Check out the people whose records or CDs or downplays that you buy. Check out these people and see if they really, truly are on the same level with you, because there's no point in giving your cold, hard cash to people who want to take away your rights. All right. So the last story we're going to talk about today is from the Red Book magazine. Again, I don't know how many of the younger listeners read this magazine. Some of those people my age, I'm 46. My daughters, they're in their early 20s. They still get Red Book magazine delivered at their home, and they do read it. So I know a lot of younger women, especially women who have children or are married, consider themselves housewives and so forth, they still read this magazine. Well, in a recent edition of Red Book magazine was an article by The Wise Guy. The Wise Guy is a monthly column given by, let's see here if I can find the name of the guy here. He looks like a Jew to me. Well, I can't find his name here, but he's a guy who supposedly tells women what guys think. And so he's got a column, and this month his column was why parenting was so much worse in the 80s. And one of the reasons he says that parenting was so much worse in the 80s is because they were so judgmental. He says, at 12 years old, I could ride my bike through my neighborhood without a helmet. He says, and of course he talks about things like back in the 80s, kids weren't required to have a helmet. He talks about the fact that there was no strict age limits on buying cigarettes. Kids could go into a store, buy cigarettes for the parents. Now, I agree, some of those things were kind of weird back then. I grew up in the 80s, so I know some of those things were kind of weird. People were all about eating a rare steak, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I didn't eat rare steaks back then. But what he says is, even in the early 90s, TV's Murphy Brown got flack from Vice President Dan Quayle for being a single mom. Well, Dan Quayle, who was the vice president at that time, and that was a big story at the moment back in that time period. Murphy Brown was a popular sitcom hero. She was a journalist, and she was not criticized for being necessarily a single mom. She was criticized for being an out-of-wedlock single mom. People just don't understand how times have changed. People don't understand how things have excelled or have continued on to how they are today. I mean, even 20, 30 years ago, for a man to get a woman pregnant and them not being married and then not taking care of her, that was considered obscene. Nowadays, we have young men and young women getting pregnant out of wedlock, young men not taking care of their children. That all goes back to the Equal Rights Amendment, because the Equal Rights Amendment, they believe that men should not have to take care of their children. They believe that men and women should be equal, to the standpoint that, hey, if a woman gets pregnant, that's her own business. She doesn't need support from the man. The Equal Rights Amendment is very, very, very anti-family and very anti-woman. Well, he says that having two mommies or two daddies was pretty much unheard of. Well, I agree with that. And, well, look, now we've got two mommies and two daddies, gay rights, gay marriage. Oh, and that's supposed to be better now? That's supposed to be better? Because it wasn't popular in the 80s? That's why parenthood is supposed to be better now, because now we can have two dads, two moms, gay parents. That's supposed to be better. He says, all these situations are fairly commonplace nowadays, and somehow, he said, we haven't been swallowed up by a lake of fire or taken over by a foreign communist regime. So pretty much he's making fun of those people who at that time were vanguards of the family, people at that time who were saying, hey, if we continue on the path that we are on, we are going to end up with anti-family legislation, we are going to end up with two moms, two dads, two gay rights, gay marriage, we're going to end up with these things. So he's making fun of them, and he says, what, somehow we haven't been swallowed up by a lake of fire? In other words, that's pretty much a condemnation of Christians and the concept of hell. Well, I would argue with him and say that, in fact, we are being swallowed up by a lake of fire. The fact that we do have gay marriage in this country, so-called gay marriage, it's not really marriage. The fact that we do have such a prevalence of violence, the fact that we do have so much anti-white sentiment going on, the fact that we do have Muslims and illegal immigration pouring into this country, undermining the traditional family, undermining white people and white families, undermining our values, I think that is a lake of fire. And my friends, it is only going to get a lot worse. Can you imagine, ladies, that if Sharia law, where we have to be covered in a burqa, where honor killings is normal because if a woman is raped by someone, instead of going after the perpetrator, they go after the woman because they can't stand the sight of a woman that has been raped? Can you imagine if those things become a law in our land? Can you imagine the anti-woman legalization that Islam and Sharia law could have in our country? If you don't think that's a lake of fire, then you need to wake up and you need to educate yourself. He said, again, why he's so glad that we are the way we are now instead of the way parents were in the 80s. He said, we're getting over our hang-ups about who gets to have a family and how they should structure it. And it's about damn time, he says, since I have enough to worry about with my own family to waste time worrying about what my neighbors choose to do with theirs. And the best part is my kids will even be less judgmental, having grown up in a world where they had a dad who stayed at home with them, though they might be traumatized with one. And then he references an 80s popular movie called The Goonies. Well, you know, I don't have any problem with a dad who stays at home. That's not what the point is. He's just trying to mince pies there. He's just trying to bring up something and just trying to get people's offenses up. The fact is, my father was a pastor. He had an office at the home. My mother worked. She didn't want to work. Actually, my mother was a chiropractic student. She had a very bright professional career ahead of her. She was an honor student. She came down with leukemia when she was a young girl, and in the last 6 months of her college career had to drop out because of her illness. She met my dad, Pastor Thomas Robb. They got married, and his ministry took up a lot of time, and she agreed to go back to work. She didn't want to go back to work. She didn't want to go back and deal with those things. She wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, but they understood that what their ministry was about reaching white people. And so that's something that they did in our family structure for a number of years. Well, she worked and my dad had a ministry and an office at home, and he did a lot of traveling, a lot of public speaking. But you know, my dad is a real man, and my dad has always said that only weak men like weak women. And my mom was a very, very strong woman. My dad had no problem when my mom was working. He had no problem having dinner ready. He had no problem taking care of laundry. He had no problem doing the carpooling for kids. He had no problem being, what you might say, being a stay-at-home dad. That wasn't what they wanted their family to be, but he had no problem with that. This reprobate here, he acts as if Christian people are, he acts as if Christian people cannot roll with the punches. Like, they cannot, like, they're so bigoted and they're so appalling that they can't understand that sometimes families have different economic balances, that they have, sometimes they have different economic ways that they have to handle their families. He just wants to downplay Christianity as a whole. Because the way that my mom and dad had to live their life was not what they wanted to do, it's what they were forced to do in order to be outspoken spokespersons for white Christian revival. They want to act as if Christians in general are just appalled at the thought of a man doing laundry or cooking or driving carpool. That's not what the problem is, my friends. The problem is that the radical feminist movement wants to equalize everything and take away female privileges that Christianity bestows upon women. That's what the problem is. They want to take away the fact that before, in earlier times, if there was a divorce, then you had a judge that sat down and you had a jury that sat down and they listened to the reasons for the divorce. Is the husband out running around with other women? Is the husband addicted to pornography? Is he a drunkard? Is he hitting on his wife? There's a reason for a divorce. Is the wife out loose? Is she running around with other people? There's a fault at the divorce. And the fact that nowadays we have no-fault divorce, and it makes it so easy for people to just get married, get divorced. It harms the children. It harms the economics of the family. It is totally not Christian. It's anti-American. And in the bottom line, it hurts women. It hurts women. And then we have, again, like I just mentioned previously, we have this whole ideal being perpetrated by the radical feminist movement that we must allow everyone into this country. And they play on women's natural compassion. They play on women's compassion for children and for families. And they say, hey, if you really want to be a good woman, you're going to allow these people to come into your homelands. Really? Allow these people to come into our homelands? Allow Muslims and Sharia law to come into the homelands so that they can rise up and hurt women and have honor killings and have judicial decisions that are in favor of men who think it's okay to rape women, who think it's okay to put to death their wives or their daughters who are raped? Absolutely not. That is so anti-woman. I just can't even begin to explain how anti-woman it is. The radical feminist movement is not a movement for women. It is against women. It's against families. And it's against America. My sisters, I just want to encourage you, educate yourself on these issues. Continue to read the articles that are on our website, kkk.com or kkk.bz. Read the articles that we post. Write to us at whiteprideradio@gmail.com. Send us your questions. Send us your comments. We would be happy to reply. We would be happy to give you more information. But thankfully, there are many, many women out there who are pro-family. They're pro-white. They're pro-Second Amendment. They understand that they have rights as a white Christian woman. They have rights in the family. They have rights in their society, and they have rights in their country, and all these things are being downplayed by radical feminists, by those who want to undermine white Christian Western civilization. All right, well, we are out of time for today. I just want to thank you once again for listening, and remember, as always, I want you to be brave. I want you to be courageous. I want you to stand up for yourself. Stand up for your families and stand up for white Christian America, because we are on the decline. However, I don't want to be pessimistic. I do not want to be pessimistic, because we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ looking out for us, and He is asking each and every one of us to stand up for ourselves. Remember, charity begins at home. We must stand up for ourselves, we must stand up for our families, and we must stand up for America and our white Christian sister countries around the world. So God bless each and every one of you. Have a wonderful Merry Christmas, and remember, it is okay to be white and proud. Don't ever, ever be ashamed of it. God bless. I want to thank you for listening to this edition of The White Women's Perspective. I want to remind you that it is not only your right, but it is your duty to stand courageously and boldly for white Christian revival, to stand for our race, and to stand up and say no to white genocide. If you have comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email me at Rachel May, that's RachelMay@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and God bless.